Royalty in Ruins.
Chapter 26. Isaiah's Message. Behold your God. Satan had long tried to lead people to see their Creator as the author of suffering and death. Those whom he had deceived in this way regarded him as eager to condemn, unwilling to receive the sinner as long as there was a legal excuse for not helping him. Satan had misrepresented heaven's law of love as a restriction on human happiness, a yoke from which anyone should be glad to escape. The arch-deceiver declared that no one could obey its requirements. The Israelites had no excuse for losing sight of God's true character. Often God had revealed himself to them as full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Psalm chapter 86, verse 15. The Lord had dealt tenderly with Israel in their deliverance from slavery in Egypt and in their journey to the Promised Land. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 9. Moses instructed them fully concerning the character of their invisible king. See Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. At the height of Israel's rebellion, the Lord had proposed to make the descendants of Moses into a nation greater and mightier than they. Numbers chapter 14, verse 12. But the prophet pleaded the promises of God in behalf of the chosen nation, and then, as the strongest of all pleas, he urged the love of God for fallen humanity. See verses 17 through 19. Graciously, the Lord responded, "I have pardoned according to your word." Then he gave Moses a glimpse of his plan concerning the final triumph of Israel. "Truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord." Verses 20 and 21. God's glory, his character, his tender love were to be revealed to people of all nations. And he confirmed this promise by an oath. As surely as God lives and reigns, his glory would be declared among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Psalm chapter 96, verse 3. The Gospel to all the world. Today this prophecy is meeting rapid fulfillment. Soon the gospel message will have been proclaimed to all nations. Men and women from every tribe, tongue, and people are being accepted in the Beloved, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 7. In the vision in the temple court, Isaiah received a clear view of God's character. The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, had appeared before him in great majesty. Yet he was made to understand the compassionate nature of his Lord. He who dwells in the high and holy place dwells with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. In beholding God, the prophet had not only seen his own unworthiness, there had come to his humbled heart the assurance of forgiveness, full and free, and he had come from the experience a changed man. He could testify of the transformation that came to him through beholding infinite love. Ever after, he longed to see erring Israel set free from the burden and penalty of sin. "Why should you be stricken again? Come now, and let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5 and 18. The God whose character they had misunderstood revealed himself as the great healer of spiritual disease. Anyone who had been backsliding in heart could find healing by turning to the Lord. "I have seen his ways," the Lord declared, "and will heal him." Isaiah chapter 57, verse 18. The prophet exalted God as creator. His message to the cities of Judah was, "Behold your God." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9. "To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal?" says the Holy One. "Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing." Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 and 26. God will accept unworthy sinners. To those who feared that God would not accept them if they turned to him, the prophet declared, "Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Verses 28 through 31. The heart of infinite love yearns after those who feel powerless to free themselves from the snares of Satan. "Fear not," he bids them, "for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not, I will help you." Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 and 13. Many who knew nothing of God's attributes were yet to behold the glory of the divine character. To make plain his merciful intent, he kept sending his prophets with the message, "Repent now, everyone, of his evil way." Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 5. "For my name's sake," he declared through Isaiah, "I will defer my anger, and for my praise I will restrain it from you, that I do not cut you off." Isaiah chapter 48, verse 9. "The Lord will receive you." The call to repentance was clear, and all were invited to return. "Seek the Lord while he may be found," the prophet pleaded. "Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 and 7. "Have you wandered far from God? Have you sought to feast on the fruits of transgression, only to find them turned to ashes on your lips? And now, your plans thwarted and your hopes dead, do you sit alone and desolate?" That voice comes to you distinct and clear. "Arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is defiled, it shall destroy." Micah chapter 2, verse 10. Your father invites you, saying, "Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Come to me, hear, and your soul shall live." Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22, chapter 55, verse 3. Do not listen to the enemy's suggestion to stay away from Christ until you have made yourself better, until you are good enough to come. Repeat the promise of the Savior. "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." John chapter 6, verse 37. Tell the enemy that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Make the prayer of David your own. "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Psalm chapter 51, verse 7. The prophet's appeals to Judah were not in vain. Some turned from their idols. They learned to see love, mercy, and tender compassion in their Maker. And in the dark days that were coming, the prophet's words were to continue bearing fruit in decided reformation. Many would behold the One altogether lovely. God would forgive their sins, and they would boast in Him alone. They would exclaim, "The Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our King. He will save us." Isaiah chapter 33, verse 22. The messages Isaiah bore to those who chose to turn from their evil ways were full of comfort and encouragement. "O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." Isaiah chapter 44, verse 21 and 22. "In that day you will say, 'O Lord, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst.'" Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 through 6.